Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related programme that comes to you every Sunday on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. Or you can listen to it on podcasts on wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz from any part of the world. We are supported by our sponsors, Peter and Susie McGuinness, the Hutt Valley Irish Society and the Wellington Irish Trust. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo, and with me in the studio doing the important technical job is Ray Ferguson from County Cavan, who does a very professional job. Today I will bring you snippets of Irish-related news and play some Irish song or music. I usually talk about this month in Irish history on my programme. Every month is the anniversary of some major event in our history, and August is the anniversary of many events. One of the most devastating was the arrival on August the 13th, 1649, of Oliver Cromwell and his army. His nine-month brutal and scorched-earth policy reverberates down through the generations of the Irish and the Irish diaspora. When he returned to England after 9 months, he left his son-in-law behind to continue his brutal policy. His name? General Henry Ireton. He adopted a policy of crop burning and starvation of the people. 17th century English economist Sir William Petty wrote that out of a total Irish population of at the time of between 1.5 and 2 million people, Cromwell caused the death of 600,000. Winston Churchill wrote in 1957 that Cromwell's record in Ireland was a lasting bane. He wrote, "By a process of terror, an iniquitous land settlement, and the banning of the old Catholic religion, by his bloody deeds, he cut new gulfs between the nations and the creeds. Hell or Connacht were the terms he thrust upon the native inhabitants, and they, for their part, across 300 years, have used as their keenest expression of hatred the curse of Cromwell on you. I say," says Churchill, "upon all of us there still lies the curse of Cromwell." Other historians say that more than 50,000 men, women and children were sent as indentured servants to Bermuda and Barbados by Cromwell's generals after Cromwell had returned to England. Now, 7 months before Cromwell came to Ireland, he had King Charles I, that's the King of England, executed, the date 30th of January, 1649. Now, 11 years after that, 1658, Cromwell got malaria and kidney stone disease. At that time, the only known cure for malaria was quinine. But because quinine had been discovered by Catholic Jesuit missionaries in South America, Cromwell refused the treatment. So he died at the age of 59. He was buried at the time with great pomp and ceremony at Westminster Abbey. Not long after his death, the monarchy was restored in Britain, or England at the time. 3 years after Cromwell's death, on the 30th of January, 1661, on the 12th anniversary of the execution of Charles I, Cromwell's body was exhumed, as well as his son-in-law, Henry Ireton. That's the fellow that burned the crops in Ireland. An English mob dragged Cromwell's dead body, or what remained of it, through the streets of London in chains and hanged him at Tyburn in London. His head was cut off and displayed on a pole outside Westminster, where it remained for 24 years. The rest of his body was thrown into a pit. Now, a couple of hundred years later, in the 19th century, in Westminster Abbey, the site of Cromwell's burial was marked by a floor stone with the words, "The burial place of Oliver Cromwell, 1658 to 1661. My wife, Mary, and myself, and our youngest daughter, Mary Kate, she was 12 years old at the time, stood at that spot in Westminster Abbey in 1997 on a visit to the historical abbey. Now, Mary Kate is now married in London with two lovely children. A statue of Cromwell was erected outside the British Parliament during the 1890s. Now, there was a lot of controversy over its erection, you can imagine. And it was funded by a man called Lord Rosebery. You can look it up. In 1997, the same year, as I said, we were at the Abbey, and that was the year before the Good Friday Peace Agreement, former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern demanded that a portrait of Cromwell be removed from a room in the British Foreign Office before he began a meeting with the British Minister, Robin Cook, and it was removed. I would say that a Jewish minister would probably feel the same if he or she was in a room with Adolf Hitler. Anyway, after that, it's time for a tune, Roisin Dubh, and here it is in memory of all those of our ancestors who suffered because of the policy of Cromwell and people like him. The tune is played here by Joni Madden. Thank you. Hope you like that. Our Central had a story recently about the untold story of how 50,000 poor Irish people were deported back to Ireland from America in the years after the Great Famine. Today, the state of Massachusetts is known as an Irish-friendly state, but it was not so in the 1850s, the 60s, or the 1870s. Politics then were anti-Irish, influenced by the Know-Nothing Protestant group, the Ku Klux Klan of their time. The 50,000 were deported between 1840 and 1870. Even some Irish American people born in the United States were among the deported. To the Know-Nothing Brigade, being poor, being Irish, being Catholic was a crime punishable by deportation. They called them leeches upon our American taxpayers. Most of those poor souls were shipped to Liverpool, and many of them from there to Ireland, some finishing up in workhouses. Some were re-deported back to America. Imagine the suffering of those poor people, our own ancestors. We might complain from time to time about the weather and such things, but how lucky we are in Ireland and New Zealand and elsewhere in comparison to what our poor ancestors had to endure through no fault of themselves. And unfortunately, the same misery is still going on to other poor people in other parts of the world. I can think of the Ukraine and the Yemen, just to name a couple. Now you can, right now, as you listen to this program, it's that suffering is going on. Anyway, just to change the tune, 2022, last week in fact, we've got a new Rose of Tralee. And her name, Rachel Duffy, from County Westmeath. She is 23 years old, and she was one of 33 contestants, and she's training to be a Spanish and English teacher. Now, the Rose of Tralee has returned after being cancelled for the past 2 years because, of course, of the COVID-19 pandemic. There were some new rule changes this year, in case you didn't know. The main change is that it is now open to transgender women, reflecting how inclusive modern Ireland has become. Another change is the fact that married women are now allowed to compete, and the age restriction is now 29 up from 28. In the words of an old Irish song, everything changes and we change as well. And after that, it's time for a song. This one is Mogilla Mair, and I've sung here by the choral scholars from the University College of Dublin. Hope you like it.
Shame on my love.
The Mayo News recently had a story of a new Irish movie that will go on general release in October. It's called The Banshee of Inisherin, written by playwright Martin McDonagh, starring Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell, two of Ireland's top movie stars. The film was shot largely on Achill Island in County Mayo, and the story is about two male friends on a remote Irish island during the time of the Irish Civil War. The two friends' friendship is challenged as they take opposite sides in the conflict. Sounds like an interesting film, and I look forward to seeing it when it's released. Talking of Achill Island, I have just read a novel based largely on the island. It was sent to me by my sister Kathleen, and it's called Amethyst Country, and I declare an interest, as the novel is written by my first cousin, Dublin-born Mary Lennon. Our mothers were sisters, and Mary and myself share grandparents. The story is good. The main character is a woman who returns to remote Achill Island after her marriage breakup in London. It brings together her own story with historical events in Achill. The well-known Irish painter Paul Henry and his lesser-known wife, a lesser-known painter's wife, Grace Henry, who was equally as good, but she was overshadowed by her husband. And they were famous. They're famous in Ireland for their landscapes, especially West of Ireland landscapes. And the novel interweaves a great Achill tragedy as well. And the tragedy was in 1894. That was 18 years before the Titanic tragedy. And 32 mostly young Achill people were drowned in Clew Bay when the small boat known as a hooker capsized on its way to Westport, where the young people were to board a steamship bound for Scotland, where traditionally seasonal workers used to go to pick potatoes from that part of Mayo and also from parts of Donegal. They were known as Tatey Hawkers, and it was just a way of life in those days. I would recommend the novel. It's Mary Lennon's first novel and has already won awards. Mary, that's my wife, and myself thoroughly enjoyed it. I would rate it very highly. The Irish Central had a story recently that I'd never heard before. We have all heard of the big bankers and financiers, the Rothschild family. Well, this story is about Lionel D. Rothschild. He was probably one of the founders of the Rothschilds, I suppose. He was a London MP and a financier during the Great Irish Famine time. He raised $600,000 in 1847, which is about $20 million, American dollars, in today's currency, to help the Irish famine victims of that time, and also the dreadful suffering of poor Scots in the Scottish Highlands. They had a tough time as well. Now, in 2010, the then President of Ireland, Mary McAleese, visited New York and formally thanked the Rothschilds and the Jewish community for their help during Ireland's dark days and national crisis. Their financial assistance, she said, helped save thousands of lives. Now, the Sultan of Turkey at that time was another great humanitarian who helped through his generosity to save many poor souls, when many others much closer to home, who could have helped, turned a blind eye and walked on the other side. We should be thankful that the Irish Central from time to time remind us of untold stories of good Samaritans. Well, it is, we in Wellington have farewelling our ambassador, Peter Ryan, and his wife, Teresa. Peter is off and he will be the new ambassador to Nigeria. And our new Irish ambassador will be Jane Connolly. Welcome to New Zealand, Jane. Peter and Teresa Ryan have set a high standard. They have been outstanding ambassadors, our first ambassadors, of course, and they've been there for the past 4 years. Well, I hope you people enjoyed the program. Tune in next week. There'll be someone else in the chair. I will go out with Michael Collins's favorite song. Now, August the 21st, which was just last week, or this week actually, was the anniversary month of his death at the age of 31 during the Civil War. He was killed in an ambush, as you probably know. And this, you know, it's a big story, long story. And the song that Michael's favorite was Old Skibbereen. And it's sung here by Sinead O'Connor. Fare thee well. Until next time.
Oh, Father dear, I oftentimes hear you talk of Erin's Isle, her lofty scenes and valleys green, her mountains rude and wild. They say it is a pretty place where might dwell. Oh, why did you abandon it? The reason to me tell. Oh, son, I love my native land with energy and pride, till a blight came. Crops, my sheep and cattle died. The rent and taxes were so high I could not them redeem. And that's the cruel reason why I left old Skibbereen. Oh, it's well I do December day, the landlord and the sheriff came to drive us all away. They set my roof on fire with their demon yellow spleen, and that's another reason why Skibbereen.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.